Now I'm here with Josh Levine. He is the co-founder and executive director of Culture Lab X, and he's an entrepreneur that's building his own entrepreneurial company focused on culture. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing really well.
Thanks you for joining us.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, so now maybe we could talk about the importance of culture. How do you define culture?
Right, that's a great place to start. Yeah. And 10 years ago, when I decided that this was where I really wanted to focus my energies and my life, that was the first question I asked. How do you define culture? Because everybody has this like, well, it's important, and it's kind of like you said, it's kind of the fuzzy or soft or human side of things, but like, how do you actually define it? Because I wanted to work with it, so we have to have a concrete, agreed upon definition. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of different definitions out there, and on dictionary.com, you'll find like the rituals and norms that you might find in the world, or some people say what happens when the boss isn't in the room. Mm-hmm. My definition, which I find more useful, is to think about it like it is the cause and effect of every decision that you make.
I always thought of it as being like the composite of the core values and philosophies of your team. But okay, cause and effect. I kind of like your definition better. Let's go into that. So you defined it 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and what have you been working on since?
Well, I'm taking that idea and moving it forward. So Great Mondays is not only the name of my book, but it's also the name of my company.
Okay.
And my goal is to help more people be happier in their lives by finding meaning in their work. So I work with organizations to help define their purpose, their values, and establish what the sort of agreement is within the organization on like how to make those decisions, how to make those choices, the cause and effect of the decisions that you make. So all of these things, the amazing thing about culture and the insidious thing about culture is that it's contagious. So if you have someone who's not very happy or is a little bit more, sneaky or political or behind the back, that and they succeed inside the organization, that is going to spread.
Okay.
So you'll have kind of this downward trend. And that's typically, if you don't pay attention, you've got entropy and it's going to push everything down, kind of things move in the wrong direction. But if you're focused and you're thoughtful, you're creative and proactive about defining what your culture is, then you can actually move it in the right direction. Upwards.
Well, you say defining your culture, and you also use the term purpose. And in going through your book, I know you mentioned that word a few times. So there's the company purpose, mm-hmm. and then you have each of your individual teammates. Their purpose might be a little bit different than that of the entrepreneur or the CEO of the company. So mm-hmm. how do you decide on what the shared purpose is for the entity?
Yeah, that's great. We actually just put out an article all about that, where it's how do you align the personal purpose and values with the organizational purpose and values. If the gap is too large, then that person is probably not going to feel good, be productive at that organization. It doesn't have to be exactly the same, but you have to this is a perfect segue, because my vision for the future of organizations is if you define your purpose, articulate it in a really compelling way, and if we define a purpose as what you do beyond making money, and you put it out in the world, then you're going to attract the kind of people who want to also achieve that purpose. And so if you think about the kind of people, let's say, that work at Patagonia, sort of a venerable Bay Area organization, mm-hmm. right? Patagonia is all about helping
people.
Clothing company, outdoors, right? Okay. Outdoors. So think about the kind of person who wants to work there. They are passionate about the outdoors. Maybe they weren't ever passionate about gear, although I challenge you to find someone who's an outdoorsman or woman who doesn't love gear. But the purpose of the organization is to help more people get out into the world and experience that. So you can imagine, it's very easy to go, oh yeah, I can imagine the kind of person that works there. And that's what I'm hoping more and more, and I help my clients with. Find that purpose, identify that, and then articulate that to attract the right kind of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems to me like something that focuses on outdoor gear is maybe it's easier to sort of hone in on. What if somebody that
that's why I used it as a case. That's why I used it as a sample.
Like a broad range of offerings. Maybe even somebody who's in multiple industries.
Sure.
Procter and Gamble, right? So they're in everything.
They're
all these houses.
Yeah.
How would you? Let's look at someone like them and think about like, okay, so Procter and Gamble, they've got all these different brands from Tide, a laundry detergent, mm-hmm. to some kind of food, Betty Crocker food, Duncan Hines cake mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
help me with that one.
Well, that one for me is more about, and I don't know. I've never studied. I don't know what Procter & Gamble has.
I had to challenge you. Come on, man. Let's not make it easy.
It's CPG, right? Consumer packaged goods.
Good. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you are, let's think about it. Maybe it's more about helping households live a better everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your foods that are more delicious or more accessible, less expensive, these types of things, then you want to be more family focused and you want to think about being passionate about these kinds of products that are going to empower the individual and the family.
Yeah. Okay, so to test you a little more, or more, I'm really get some free coaching here. So we built this entrepreneurial platform here at Haney Biz. We're helping entrepreneurs to be entrepreneurs, right? So many entrepreneurs out there, they open up their business, they put out the shingle, and then they run into all these obstacles. And so where do I turn for help? We've put together this platform that provides access to capital, to expertise, to a community. We've even got a media platform. So thinking about someone like us, I mean, you walk into to Haney Biz and you say, Mark, let me help you out, bro. What would you say to me?
I think your purpose is getting excited about helping the individuals launch turn their new ideas into realities. Mm-hmm. So you want to help the person who thinks they have a good idea and help them make that really a productive, valuable, scalable opportunity. And so if you're the kinds of people that we met out here in the lobby, they're excited and passionate about actually, no matter if they're in the media group or the publicity group or whatever it is, they're excited about this idea of helping people really turn their ideas into something more and concrete, you know, more. That's the hard part, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where it's like everybody, you know, in the Bay Area, you throw a stone, you're going to hit someone with a great idea.
For sure.
Right.
Yes.
But then we're thinking about how do you actually make that happen? Yeah. And that's the hard part.
Yeah. No. So you mentioned earlier that having the right culture, having some of these things better defined, will actually help you to attract the right team. So how does it help us from like a recruiting standpoint? Because we know right now that unemployment is
all-time low,
right? So these are, hey, we need to have a strong, committed workforce, and we need to attract the people that are going to fit.
That's right. Well, so it's not just purpose. So
okay.
Let's go beyond purpose. Okay, so we've already defined that. We want to find the people who are going to love helping the individual make their ideas reality. But we also think about what are the values. So if purpose is your why, I don't know if you've read Simon Sinek's book, right?
Start with why.
Start with why. Mm-hmm. So purpose is your why. Values are your how. You can't just run a business on your purpose.
Okay.
Values are your how. It's how you do your business. So when someone, if you can get someone in the door, you can say, we have these unique and innovative values, something that really articulates what we're working on and how we do our work here. They can go, oh, I understand the difference between this opportunity and I can imagine what it's like to work with these kinds of people to the other ones that I might have other places, right? So of course you're going to be able to offer them, the kind of salary or the health benefits or all these other things. But what we want to do is elevate that conversation out of just sort of the basics into like, what is it like to work here? Do I really connect? I can tell you're really into the relationships. You're really into the relationships. The people who are here have all looked me in the eye. They've all said hello. They're all really passionate about making that connection. So when I walk in the door, I know that immediately. That's culture, right? You can just feel it. Mm-hmm. That's like the symptom of culture.
Okay.
You can just feel that. And that, to me, is when you start to be able to pull someone in, reel them in, and say, this is what it's like to work here.
Yeah.
So you got your purpose up top. That's the peak of the mountain. Then you've got values, which are the guardrails, making sure that people actually are trying to get to the peak in the way that we want. It's a mutually agreed upon contract. How do we want to do that? Because those guardrails are going to keep us from going off the side of the mountain or taking a shortcut in a way that's going to compromise the long-term value of the organization.
So you've built a business out of helping people to better define their culture, build the right culture, but it's more than that. You've decided to turn it into a book. You also have started something called Culture Lab X. Why don't we dive into the book for a second so we can make sure that we capture the essence of what the book is, because I've read it. It's very, very good, but I want to make sure that our audience knows what they can get if they jump into the book. And I sound like I'm promoting the book, which I guess I am, even though that, you know, it's, I only promote what I believe in. And I, you know, because of Anna, I know the book, Anna Strauss, a mutual friend. I know the book, and, you know, so after going through it, I'm like, you know what, this is good stuff. So anyway, maybe you could help guide our audience through what the book is.
Sure. So let's go right back to the beginning where you said, what is the definition?
Okay.
What's the definition of culture? So after I figured out for me what made sense, I realized that wasn't going to help me or any other organization actually improve the culture. So what I did with some of my Culture Lab X colleagues, our co-founders, defined the ingredients, or what we call the components of culture. So now we have six components of culture, which we tested with our community, and essentially created a framework that helps founders, entrepreneurs, managers, and leaders go through a step-by-step process to not only proactively design and define your culture, but actually activate it. So you've got six components. We've already talked about three of them.
Okay.
Purpose, values, and behaviors. So behaviors are what we're looking for, remember. It's the cause and effect of everything that we do.
You bet.
Okay, so now if you just put your purpose and values up on the wall, that doesn't mean anybody's actually going to do those things and act in that way. So you need to activate it. So the second three are recognition, rewards and recognition programs, recognition rituals, and cues. So recognition, most people know, but the biggest mistake most organizations make with rewards programs is they reward the outcome and not the way that people get there. And so my point of view is you need to recognize values-driven behaviors.
Okay.
Rituals are how we build and strengthen what I call the synapses of culture, which are relationships. So we've already talked about that. So when your organization scales beyond 50 people, it's very hard to have relationships with all those people. If you're thinking about enterprise-sized organizations, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people, it's hard to have that. So it's the organization's job, the manager's and the leader's job to help create those relationships, bridging the boundaries that are, or the barriers that are, offices, floors, literally cubicle walls and silos, right? So then we have that. And then cues are the physical, behavioral, and digital reminders of why we're in business. So it connects us back to the purpose and the values.
And on this information, right, your vision, mission, values, cues, rituals, I mean, there's a lot there. I added some extra on my own accidentally, and I've probably skipped some of yours. Now, with that said, is the best idea to slap them up on the wall so they're front of mind, tip of tongue, or is it best to, I mean, how do we make sure that these things are tattooed to our soul?
Right. So I would say two things. One is, when you're creating these, don't just make it about the unless you're a company of one.
Okay.
Don't just make it about the founder defining those, the purpose and the values. It has got to be in concord with what I consider culture all-stars, the people who you, if you could replicate, that would make the ideal company. You could just replicate them. So we usually work with 10 to 15 folks. And those people are going to automatically be those culture advocates. You bring them through the process. So they have lived this experience, and now they're going to go out, right? Because my team is only so many people. I can't live at that organization. They have to embody that. So that's number one. Number two is, everything that you do, everything inside of that organization has to be built around making sure those behaviors are aligned when you're thinking about those values. And that's including the recognition and rewards. So that's great. You've got once a year, you've got quarterly, you've got everyday pat on the backs, but you've also got other ways to connect with other people when you're having these conversations, when you're having difficult conversations, which you'll be talking about shortly, yeah. Right? You got to say, this is why we're going to do this, or this is why, as a manager, you have to get those people really embedded and say, everything that we do, you know, this is one of our values. This is why that thing that you did didn't align. That wasn't great. And that's why we need to get it back on track.
Okay. One more thing. I'm going to challenge you on your book a little bit. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. The name of the book is called Great Mondays, which to me implies that Mondays aren't necessarily great. And I think, I can't wait for Monday, right? So our business is B2B for the most part, right, as an investor. And, you know, this B2B platform. And so, you know, a lot of times my teammates take the weekends off. I love what I do. So I can't wait till first thing Monday morning for the Haney Biz Huddle, and we dive into the most exciting part of my life beyond my family, which is this endeavor that we're pursuing here. Yeah. So in Great Monday sort of implies that, I got the Monday blues, mm-hmm. and, you know, we're trying to help us overcome all that mm-hmm. stuff that mm-hmm. I don't even know that I understand that.
Right. I think you and I have a very similar point of view. It's from my lived experience of working for somebody else versus starting my own business and working for myself and saying, it's a possibility that you don't have to dread Mondays. If you know why you're coming to work, if it's purposeful, then you're going to be able to come in, you know, fired up on Monday morning. And I would say that you and I are unique in that way. Most people are like, well, I have to do this work. But my vision for the world is actually, no, I want people to be able to find the kind of business, the kind of work, whether it's in a business or not, the kind of work that makes them excited to show up, as excited as you are, as excited as I am. It feels like a real possibility. And I don't know that we'll ever get 100% of the people there, but I guess that's why, you know, I'll have a job for my entire life, right?
Well, I mean, I don't think you're not going to lose that passion, I can tell. And I know you've taken that passion and decided to unselfishly start this charitable organization, if you will, a nonprofit, whereby you're helping promote the idea of culture and a thriving mm-hmm. culture outside of your world, and you're expanding your world throughout the U.S. I know you have an operation here with Anna Strauss here in Sacramento, and you've got them all around the United States. So, talk to us about this Culture Lab X. Kind of a cool name, but what is it?
What is it?
Yeah.
So Culture Lab X is a nonprofit. For culture builders, people who want to push the idea of culture and learn for themselves how to improve the culture of organizations. Because it's my belief that culture is the only sustainable competitive advantage in business in the 21st century. It's the only thing that's not copyable and not stealable. It is powerful and the premise on which all businesses should run. So I can't just do that myself, though. I needed to find other people like myself. And in San Francisco, when we started Culture Lab X, it was really just meant to be a couple of us folks getting together to talk about it. But now it's sort of just grown almost out of control. We have hit the right thing at the right time. And we have 9 different labs across North America, 3 in Canada, New York, Atlanta, like you said, Sacramento, San Francisco, all over the place, because these people just call and they'll say, I heard about Culture Lab X. I want in. What is it? So something is out there.
Yeah.
And when we started this 7 or 8 years ago, there wasn't enough conversation around culture. And that's what I wanted to do, was just move the conversation about culture forward. And if we can empower people to connect with one another, then I feel like we have a chance at actually elevating this and bringing it up into the shared consciousness of businesses. And mm-hmm. and if we could get it taught in business schools as a practice, if we could start to get organizations to invest in culture as a real business practice, just like finance, just like technology, that is the goal. That's my vision. That's what I want to see. Because you don't ever see the CFO saying, we're going to focus on finance for the next quarter and then we'll be done. No, culture is an ongoing thing, and that's what we need to do, and that's why Culture Lab X is out there, so that we can surf, we can find these people who become advocates for culture, mm-hmm. and then move that forward.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I see it sort of taking hold here in Sacramento through Anna's group, and I'm on an advisory board for Culture Lab X. It seems to me that it's an economic growth opportunity. It's an economic development sort of platform where it's good for your hometown if businesses in your hometown have great culture. It's almost can be a competitive advantage or yep. differentiation if yep. if Sacramento has a great culture in their businesses as compared to, I don't know, Topeka, Kansas. It's like, let's operate our businesses here in Sacramento, and that's good for good for our town.
That's right. That's
so
right. Absolutely.
I can see that the economic development people might begin to really put their arms around this thing.
Absolutely. We got that same feeling from Atlanta. I was just there promoting my book, and the Atlanta lab started maybe a year and a half ago, and it is just going gangbusters. It's amazing. Something about Atlanta, people are super jazzed about this. And that's, I feel like, okay, right, if I'm going to advise one of my clients to think about opening a new office, I think Atlanta's a great place. There's a lot of passion and energy. People are looking for organizations that have a culture that they can really sink their teeth into. And so I think that that's a really insightful observation.
Well, okay, so just kind of last question or closing thoughts, thinking about advice to the small and medium-sized business person mm-hmm. in the Sacramento region, mm-hmm. right? We have a business, and man, I've already established my core values like 15 years ago when I started my business. I've already got this culture that exists. Is it good? Well, it's okay. Obviously, to create a competitive advantage or something that helps my business to sustain itself long term, I need to, you know, I need to change. When is it time to like get in and readdress the core values or readdress the mission statement? How do I know when it's time to kind of like tear it down a little bit and rebuild it?
The comprehensive answer is it depends. But yeah. When we think about and we see organizations, high growth organizations in the Bay Area, I would say I advise them to look at their values every 2 to 3 years. Okay. Because values should really be, this is my controversial stance on values, which is values should stretch you forward. They are not necessarily kind of these universal truths that will never change. They should be things that challenge you to become better. What are the things that you're working on? And so you need to be looking at that every 3 years. I think that's a good practice. Anytime you shift markets, anytime you introduce a new product, anytime you want to hire more people, it's worth looking. Now, I'm not saying you got to change it every time, mm-hmm. but culture is an evolution. Culture is not a destination. And we need to make sure that more entrepreneurs understand that they need to continue as the business evolves and they evolve. The culture needs to evolve as well. And hopefully every time that they think about that cycle and go through the six components, it gets a little better and a little better and a little better.
Culture is not a destination. It is an evolution. Josh Levine, he's the co-founder, executive director of Culture Lab X. He is also the author of the book, Great Mondays. He shared his story, and I want to thank you for informing a lot of us, reminding a lot of us what we need to be thinking about when it comes to culture.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks.